Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
And we're live! Woohoo! What's up, everyone? We are live. It's Jana and
Catherine.
Hey, guys. And we are live in Vegas. Hey, so how, like, do you like coming to Vegas?
I love coming to Vegas.
Yeah. I have one.
Oh, no. This is why she doesn't tell
me. Well, first of all, I just want to say thanks to everyone who is joining us. We are super excited to be the pre-host, pre-show podcast host for the iHeart Music Awards. I keep saying awards. It's festival. I keep saying awards. It's not an award. But I like
it. Feels like an award show, kind
of. It does.
Yeah.
We're like getting dressed up. But no, seriously, thank you guys for coming on. And I have a very weird love-hate relationship with Vegas. Can you, as my best friend who is here with me in Vegas, what do you think I don't like about Vegas? Like, why don't I like Vegas?
Because of the ACM Awards?
What happened to the ACM Awards?
Oh, I don't know.
Wait, oh my God, now I'm like, wait.
Okay, bad guess.
What happened to the ACM Awards?
No, I just didn't know if it was like a bad,
what happened to the ACM Awards?
Nothing specific.
What happened? Because I lost?
No. You actually won in Vegas.
Oh, I did. Yeah. I won you.
Okay, wrong guess. Okay.
Was it when I was with Brantley?
I mean, I wasn't.
What happened? Come on. You have to tell the story now.
Nothing happened specifically.
Everyone wants to hear the story.
I just didn't know if it was because it was like, I don't know. Never mind. Rewind.
We can't cut it because it's live.
I know.
Because if you know the story, like, it's good.
There's not a specific story, I promise.
There's not. Okay. Is there anything else?
Reason why you hate Vegas.
I don't say hate. I love hate relationship. Mm-hmm. Oh, and don't forget to submit your question, you guys. If you have any questions that you want either me, Catherine, or whoever else, Easton's in the room, Riley, Emma, who did my hair and makeup, who want a tutorial, submit your questions.
I feel like a bad best friend right now.
I mean, I'm going to give you the title. Mm-hmm. I got married in Vegas.
Oh.
When I was 19.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Guys, Elvis married me in Vegas. I knew the guy for 2 weeks. It was a bad. Look, I just wish I could say, too, that I had alcohol in my system. I was so sober. It wasn't even funny. But, yeah, I went through, like, a drive-thru window, and it was like, I can't even impersonate Elvis. I won't even try. But yeah, no, I got married by Elvis.
The drive-through part is the best part. Mm-hmm. Like drive-through.
Went through a drive-through. So that's
y'all have to eat after?
Well, I was only 19, so we couldn't go like out. So we went to the Hard Rock Cafe and I was wearing a Von Dutch shirt. I remember that. Oh, and I thought it was so cool because it was like $50 or whatever. And it was at the time, like Von Dutch was like the thing.
Huge. Yeah.
And I had an ice cream sundae.
Was it ice cream sundae or ice cream sandwiches?
I think it was a sundae.
Oh, okay. Ice cream sandwiches.
Oh, you remember that, but you don't remember the fact that I got married in Vegas?
Never
mind. I'm pretty sure it was a sandwich.
I knew you got married in Vegas.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So that's one reason. It's just, actually, I think that was it. Yeah, no, every other time. I love it. I love coming here. I love gambling. I think it's fun. It makes me think of my grandma because my grandma she's in her late 80s and she's obsessed with Vegas. And I actually should have asked if she wanted to come because she loves gambling.
Didn't your mom and grandma come to ACM Awards one year?
Yep.
And gambled? I remember.
Yep. I had my aunt and my grandma, my mom, like anytime. My grandma's probably going to be mad. She's probably watching right now and she's like angry at me.
Sorry, grandma.
I know. Sorry, Grams. But yeah, no, I'm excited that we're here. I'm excited to like let the hair down a little bit and have a good time. And I'm really pumped too about the guests that we're having on the show today because I feel like my 90s heart is just exploding. Cause I mean, let's just first start with like Joey McIntyre. I mean, I was like the hugest New Kids on the Block fan ever.
Don't embarrass yourself.
I know. So I shouldn't tell him about the time that I like had a party and it had like the sheets and I like slept in his blanket. I probably shouldn't tell him like anything.
What did the sheets have to do with
Because it was his face. Like it was the New Kids on the Block sheets, you know?
You should definitely tell him.
I don't know.
Yeah,
he might think I'm a little weird. And then, I mean, 98 Degrees, like I just like there's
all the songs.
All the songs. And you're like a huge Real Housewives.
Yes.
Here's my question, though. Are you going to bring up Housewives? Because now that she's not on the Housewives. I
have to. Just one question.
Isn't that kind of like a... No. It's like someone's like, oh, are you sad to not be on a record label anymore? And it's like...
But they still ask you. Sometimes you just want to know the answer. I'll be nice about it. Like, I'm going to ask in a nice way. I'm going to be like, would you go back if they asked you?
Uh-huh.
She's like, no, don't ask that. Okay.
No. I'm thinking of what.
Does she miss it? She's been back on.
Oh, she has?
Ladies. Yeah. And I want to know if she still spends time with the ladies on the show.
Okay. Yeah. Because I wonder, like.
But I mean, I'm going to ask for other
stuff. Don't even know why they got rid of her.
Who knows? I have an idea.
Why?
Just because she's like normal and like a great chick and she doesn't want to cause a bunch of shit.
Oh,
drama. Sorry.
Drama. I used to be able to edit. Would you do a reality show?
Oh.
Do you think I should do a reality show?
You should do a reality show. The thought of it just made me sweat thinking about me doing it. But you would be great.
I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. I actually was supposed to do one, but then things, you know, obviously fell apart. But we're not going to talk about that because we've already talked about one marriage I've had, so we don't need to go on to the next one. So
night's still young.
The night's still very young. Where are your guys' questions? I want to see them. And then we also have Donny Osmond coming on the show. Ooh, oh, there we go. Will you ever do a Christmas or worship album? So worship music I've just started listening to.
I like that idea, though. I never thought of that.
Me too. And I, for the first time in church the other day, I went like this, put the hands up.
Oh,
yep.
I mean.
Had a little bit of a moment. So, I mean, yes, that's a new, And then Christmas though, 1000% Christmas is, I've been begging her to help me get on the Christmas stuff, Christmas music. Cause I love Christmas music.
I actually failed.
No. But I have a song coming out. Surprise. I have a song coming out, December, the Christmas song.
We don't know yet, friend.
Okay.
Well, she likes to jump, you know.
I do. I like to.
We'll let you know.
Yes. I would love to. And then I want to do more of a country album sometime soon for Easton over there because Easton loves those little country art.
You would kill a Christmas and worship album though.
Thanks, babe.
For sure.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So I'm super pumped to be here for the iHeart Music Festival, especially to see, you know, who I want to talk to again is Darius Rucker.
Oh, I love Darius.
I love Darius so much.
I'm excited to see him, yeah.
I'm super pumped to see him perform just because it's been a minute and I'm such an actual fan of his. And I was able to go on tour with him, gosh, like what, how many years ago? Like seven or 8 years ago. And he was just like the coolest dude ever. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. And we have a little bottle of wine that we're working on. It's probably the smallest little bottle I've ever seen, but it's super cute. And
cheers.
This is
you're not drinking.
I'm drinking it from here. It's fine. Wait, we have questions lined up. So whenever you want us to go to the next. Oh, yeah. Next question. What is your favorite thing to do in Vegas? Not get married, Erica. No, my favorite thing to do in Vegas, I would say, is to gamble and play blackjack. I love blackjack. I think it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun sitting at the table together. What's your favorite thing?
Blackjack and craps is a lot of fun. You don't know how to play craps. I don't really know how to play it. It's like a really good, fun group game. But you know, one of my favorite things to do in Vegas is to watch you, when we're done playing blackjack, go put all your money on red.
Oh, yeah.
Because you do that every time.
Okay. So here's my thought process with that. So whatever you make or like whatever you win. So let's say the winnings. Take the winnings and you put the winnings down on red or black or green if you're really feeling lucky. Because it's like you never had it anyway. So the whole point of Vegas is to like have fun and have that adrenaline and gamble. Like that's a huge gamble. You're taking your winnings. You're not going to be out because you've already won. I said, you know, but then you can just walk away even either having double or not just regular, not losing. No, you wouldn't do it?
I haven't I've watched you do it a lot.
If you had $1,000 that you won from blackjack, would you put $1,000 down? Like you,
no.
Really? Mm-mm. Where's the gambler in you, baby?
I would either keep playing the game because I like actually playing the game. Like it's too fast to just pick a color, ball goes around a couple times, and then there's your answer. But a memory, don't know if I should sell it or not. When Brantley did that years ago in Vegas. put it on there, won a bunch of money. So maybe I should.
See, it works.
There you go.
Next question.
Since we're talking about it.
If you could collaborate on an album with any artist, who would it be? I have always been a huge fan of Adam Levine. I just think it would be really cool. He's got a different sounding voice. I have a different sounding voice. So I don't know. I think that would be kind of a cool collaboration. In the country world, I would love to collab with either Sam Hunt or, I don't know if I can say that, but
we've already said a lot of things.
Okay. But, and then there's, who else would I collab with? I love Morgan Wallen's album. So,
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great. Y'all's voices would sound great.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sand in My Boots is like one of my favorite songs. So
what if you did something with a female?
Oh man.
That's hard. Cause female. You always go towards male.
Really good question. Mm-hmm. Female. You know who I love is Ingrid Andress.
Yeah.
She's like, she's incredible. Mm-hmm. Ingrid Andress. And then I think, you know who I love too is, Rachel Womack. I think she just has like that really like soulful vibe to her. And then, I mean, obviously like Miranda Lambert would be like that song that she has out with, oh my gosh, what song is that? Easton, help me out. What song is that? Elle King.
Oh, Elle King. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't like that. That is like one of the coolest songs ever. I think they sound insane together on that song. Like it's a jam. Next question. Oh, how'd you and Catherine meet?
Why does this keep all of a sudden coming
up? Because people want to know because you're here. Catherine was a One Tree Hiller. Go ahead, tell the story. Wait, what do you mean? Okay,
yes,
time
I
out.
Love One Tree Hiller.
Time out. The other day, people were like, how do you know Catherine? I told the story. Catherine was a huge One Tree Hiller. And then she's like, no, I was like, you watched the show. You saw me on One Tree Hill, which makes you a One Tree Hiller.
Okay, yes. And One Tree Hill is amazing. And I'm owning it. I'm just saying, like, when you're in this, when you work in the music business, you're never like, oh, I was a fan. Like, you're just like careful of that. So it gets me a little like uncomfortable. But yes, I watched One Tree Hill.
Oh, because you don't want to admit that you were a fan of me.
I was not a fan of you.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But no, like you don't like start working with an artist and you're like, oh, I gotta be a huge fan. Like, you know.
I mean, we're artists. Great, we're kind of like,
but like that's kind
self-centered. Like, we want fair. People to say like we are. Cool
anyway, I like kept
nice
that from you for a while. I feel like.
Yeah. You're like, I happened to see an episode.
I did. I always said to see an episode.
Happened
anyway,
to see you
fine.
Sing. So anyways, I would love to hear the real story.
You want
to
know the real story?
Yes. No, lie to me.
No. I
10
mean,
years of our,
literally,
of our friendship.
My husband and I, my brother and his wife.
What?
Yeah. My other brother and his wife, my dad, we'd all get together and watch One Tree.
Shut up! I did not know this. Why did you tell me this?
Because.
Nick?
Yeah.
Nicholas.
Anyway, so we did watch the show, but I already worked in the music business. Saw you singing, and I was like, oh, she actually sings. And then that's when I was like, oh, okay, she's actually good. She's got songs out. And then we, long story short, started working together.
She stalked me in Wilmington, long story short.
I did get to go to Wilmington, though. How about it? Think about that.
Yeah.
I get to go to Wilmington and go to dinner with everybody.
And she saw me roll around in bed with Stephen Colletti.
Oh, yeah,
that was that episode, right?
Yeah, that was special. Yeah.
So I mean, that's pretty cool. And I had no idea
that
you freaking.
My sister-in-law reminded me when you called me out on Instagram the other day. She's like, "Oh, so you didn't say that we used to go?" Like, I was like, "No."
That blows my mind. I never knew that. Mm-hmm. That is insane. I have to ask, like, did you like me on the show?
Yeah. No, I did.
Kind of a pause.
No, I did. I actually really liked you on the show.
Oh my god, that's so crazy. My best friend finally tells me the truth. I feel like you've just been even like holding back a lie this entire time. It was your
kinda.
Oh my god. We do need to go to therapy.
It's kind of like a I feel like it's kind of just like this unspoken thing in the industry.
Where what?
Well, you don't just like admit that you're like a huge fan.
Huh.
Do you want me to tell you I'm a huge fan?
I mean,
fan?
Not, that's what you want. I wanted you like to be like, okay. I've watched the show.
I told you I watched the show. I just didn't tell you I watched
not
the show.
Not really. Okay. Next question. Moving We're
on.
Going
we
to therapy.
Each other. It's fine.
Hey, you know what? We actually have our first guest in ready for us. Let's bring on Donny Osmond. Donnie.
What's up? So you played a song that's what, 25 years old?
Okay. Would you want to sing us one that then right now that you love?
You got to hear the new single. You got to hear the new song.
Wait, I need more.
It's a lot of people thought it was like Charlie Puth or something when it first came out.
Ooh. Yeah. And that's what you're playing on your solo residency here in Vegas. How is that going for you? Are you loving it?
Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. Better than I thought it would be. So, no, it's not just the album. When I designed this show, and I've been working on it ever since COVID started. So I thought, what kind of show can be unique? So I decided to put, because I've been in the business, you know, since Dirt was created. So I decided I'm going to put six decades into 90 minutes. In fact, there's this one segment, and it goes over great. So I just released my 65th album. That's where Who came from. And so I put all 65 albums on the huge screen behind me. And the audience members can pick any album, any song from any album I've ever recorded in my entire life. And we do it just like that.
Stop.
I'm serious.
Come on.
65 albums.
And you remember the lyrics?
Yes. The band hated me at first. But, you know, It's the most fun part of the show, because every show changes, every night is different. And last night they had me do just some of the songs I sang when I was like 12 years old, all the way up to this current album, and it's so fun. And then, you guys, the other fan favorite is that I said, how am I going to fit six decades into 90 minutes? And I called Raj Kapoor, my director. Do you know who Raj Kapoor is?
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so Raj is like, and he does the Oscars and all that stuff, the Grammys. So Raj is directing this thing for me. And I said, Raj, what do you think if I did a rap? And he said, you mean like
a medley, like a rap medley?
It's a rap medley. And I said, you know, very much like Hamilton. And so we started putting this all together. Keith Harrison, my music director, he's a genius. I think he's from another planet. So he and I put this thing together. It's almost 10 minutes long, and it gets faster and faster and faster. And people have been recording it. They put it up on YouTube. And now every time I start introducing this, I can hear in the audience, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. And it is the most interesting 10 minutes because I cover everything.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. Cool. Well, and like you're giving your...
I'm no Drake, but you know, hey, whatever. I do the
rap. No, but I mean, like you're giving your fans like an incredible experience, especially for the ones that have been with you for, you know, your entire career. And it's like, it's, that's got to be, I mean, 65 albums. I can't even wrap my mind around. I mean, I can barely remember lyrics to like two of my albums. So like, I can't even like, it's like when someone like, I'm like, I played that once and one time only. Like that was like a deep album cut. I can't do that. So it's like,
right,
I mean, that's...
Right.
That's
and you know what's really interesting? In fact, I even mentioned this on the stage, is that putting the show together was really difficult, because what parts of a six-decade career do you put in there? And this is actually a true story. I was coming out of the store. This happened last year. And I was walking out of the store, and this little eight-year-old girl stops in her tracks. And she said, this true story. She said, I know who you are. You're the peacock. I was the peacock on the Masked Singer.
Masked Singer, yeah.
I was the very first Masked Singer. I started the whole thing. And she doesn't know anything about my previous history or even the Donny Marie thing we did at the Flamingo. I'm a peacock to her. And then 2 weeks after that happened, this college student stops me. And he says, hey, I know who you are. He said, Joseph from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So... They know me, different ages, different generations know me for different things. So it was a real challenge putting the show together, but we did it.
I mean, that's amazing. Has there been, I mean, obviously, because you've toured with your sister for years, was there a challenge that you faced touring solo by yourself?
It's a good question. But, you know, when you dig into my career from the beginning, I've had three careers, one with my brothers, one with Marie, and one as a solo artist ever since I was like 14. So it's we did 11 years at the Flamingo with my sister, but this show is completely different because it's all inclusive.
Right. Do you miss having like that? Because I feel like, because I've always only done like my own stuff. So now it's nice to like have kind of like that wing person, or are you just kind of like, you had that for so long that you're like, it's nice to have your own like independence and your own, like you get to be the only person kind of calling the shots.
Well, like I said, it's two different shows. I mean, the Donnie and Marie thing, it's kind of fun and silly, that kind of humor that we did on the Donnie and Marie show back in the 70s, where this show, it's all about the music. It's all about the journey that I've been on for six decades, making 65 albums and everything in between. So it's, you can't really compare the two shows. But yeah, I had a great time working with Marie. We originally were supposed to be at the Flamingo for 6 weeks, turned into 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Incredible. What's been like your biggest kind of takeaway with your career? Like what's like the most, maybe not the most thankful thing, but the, just like the biggest kind of takeaway that you've learned along the way?
Well, the biggest thing that comes to my mind right now would be the fact that I lost it. I lost everything in the 80s. And so when you lose it and you
work so hard. Refresh my memory, because I was born in 83. So what do you mean you lost it?
In 83 was around when you were born. I had
It was a bad year.
It was a good year for you. It was a bad year for me, baby. I mean, I couldn't get a record deal. I couldn't get arrested. I mean, my career was over. And I had to start from, well, not from ground zero, below ground zero. And I just worked as hard as I could and just singing anywhere I could find until finally in 1989, they called it the comeback of the 80s when a song called Soldier of Love came out. That's the one you play at the beginning of the show. And I'll never forget, there was an article that came out in the UK. They said the day Donny Osmond gets back on the charts will be the day pigs will fly. Pigs were flying in 1989, baby. And and I'll never forget when Rolling Stone magazine, this was 70s, it's 70s. They said the worst day in rock and roll history was the day Donny Osmond was born. So you take off. That's the Rolling Stone magazine. And I've even talked to the guy who wrote that, and we had a good laugh about it. Because, you know, my early career was teeny bopper. It was all that kind of stuff. And it took years and years and a lot of work to make that jump. Like Justin Bieber went through the same thing. In fact, Justin inspired one of the songs on my album called, well, let me give you the full story.
Okay.
When he released Lonely. Oh, it's a great song. Great
video. I love
the
yodel in like his like voice when he sings that song.
It's just fantastic.
It's so good. But even the word is like, it's like he has everything, but he's so, I'm like, oh, that's like broke my heart when I like heard the lyrics.
Back in 1975-ish, maybe a little later, I was in Hawaii, did a concert at this big arena. Place was packed. It was just screaming girls. It was the most amazing concert and experience. We had a condo there. And after the show, we went back to the condo, and I found a corner room. And I just went into the corner, crawled up in a ball, and cried my eyes out. My brother Jay walks in and he sees me and he said, Donnie, what's wrong? And I looked up at him and I said, I'm lonely. And I just needed somebody in my life. Yes, I got my family around, but I'm lonely. I need someone in my life. So when that video came out, I just said, boy, can I relate to this or what? But I've found the love of my life. Have children. I'm a grandpa now. And I see Justin making the same moves. And he inspired me to write this song called Life After Loneliness. And it's a star. Because the reason I said that you are a star, Justin's the real deal.
Yeah.
He made the leap. And he's now found love in his life. And he's finding some normalcy. I went through the same thing. And that's what inspired that song, Life After Loneliness. So the whole record is full of just so many personal experiences. When I talked about losing everything in the 80s, worst time of my life is when you were born. But I wrote a song. I wanted to write a song because I really dug deep on this album. It took me 3 years to write this album. I wrote over 40 songs and narrowed it down to these 12. And I wrote a song called Take Me Back. And I used a word in the chorus, innocence. The innocence of me and you together. And so innocent was used because the first single I ever recorded as a solo artist was called Sweet and Innocent. Mm. And it could be looked at as a love song, Take Me Back in Your Arms. But it's more about that. It's more about the public, the industry. Take me back. I just want to be back on stage again.
Yeah.
And when you take it, and when you listen to it from that perspective, it's a deep, deep song.
Yeah. Oh, so, my goodness. What's one piece of advice for the lonely people out there?
Find the love of your life. Don't depend on social media for your validation. Mm. So many people depend on their likes to determine who they are. Be yourself, you know, just enjoy who you are. I wrote a song with Amy Wadge. She co-wrote Thinking Out Loud with Ed Sheeran.
Such a good song.
Yeah, it's a great song. So, and Amy, I met her just before COVID hit and she said, I want to write a song with you. And I said, Amy, I'd love to. Let me come up with the concept. And it took me like 6 months to come up with the right concept. And I called her up. She lives over in the UK. I said, Amy, I got it. Here's the melody. Dun, 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 dun. It's pretty simple. And the way you love, the way you touch, the way, and it talks about the way you are is enough for me. Just be yourself. That's good enough. You don't have to change. You don't have to do anything. Just the way you are is perfect. Don't have to change.
Oh, I love it. Donnie, thank you so much for coming on. And just,
oh, it's my pleasure.
I mean, you're incredible. So everyone, go see Donnie at Harrah's Las Vegas. Visit Ticketmaster.com/Donnie to get your tickets. And thank you so much. I mean, you're incredible. So thank you.
Thank you. Good talking with you guys.
Thanks, Donnie.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Can
you imagine having to know all those songs?
No, Easton always wants me to sing Goodbye California, and I'm like, I like your boots. You, what's the next song? Don't
I
know.
Da, 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 da,
and the Daffodils. 68
just
albums.
How talented he is. That's crazy.
He's insane mm-hmm. and talented. I mean, just like he's so and like I love that to this day. I mean, like obviously, he's like he said, he's been what 14? Is that what he said? Yeah. But he has been. He's still in love with what he does. Mm-hmm. Like that is like was I think my biggest takeaway from that interview is like he loves what he does.
But
like
then how he was also lonely. I mean, it's all so much. I know it's a lot.
Have you heard that Justin Bieber song?
I don't think
everybody
I have.
Knows my name.
Oh yeah, no, I have. Yeah. No, I have. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, really funny song. A really funny. What happened?
No, I'm excited.
Oh, okay,
like you got me excited. What?
So I was driving the kids to Mike's, and I remember in Vancouver when I was shooting that movie, Jace really liked Lonely because he goes, low, whoa, whoa, whoa. So it was super cute. So I was like, oh, hey, Siri, like play, you know, Lonely by Justin Bieber on Spotify. And I totally forgot that it has the F word in there.
Is it, you got to get the non-explicit.
And Jolie is
version.
Clear as day.
Uh-oh.
And the pricey pain. And then it said the. So why do I have to be so effing lonely? Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. And then I was just like, don't say anything. Just don't say anything. Just be like, so the next time it came out, I was like, like, so like, she like couldn't hear it. Oh my gosh.
It all the time. It's all right.
She said the F word and the S word in there. So to the parents out there listening, get the what version?
Clean.
How do you get that?
You can look at, I mean, on Spotify and other
things. Oh, there's like clean versions?
Sometimes it's hard to find the clean versions on Spotify, but oh yeah, you can, yeah.
Oh.
Or you can YouTube, yeah.
Well, really
there's clean versions. Or if it has an E,
okay,
explicit.
Are you ready for us to get hot in here?
A little
98 degrees.
I'm so excited.
Okay, let's bring Jeff, Drew, and Justin in.
It's the hardest thing
hi, I'm singing.
Hi.
He just totally caught me singing a song. Hey, guys, how are you?
We were listening in the green room. We could have listened to you sing all day long.
My 90s heart right now is just like pounding. I love you guys.
Well, thank you.
This is so cool. Okay. Vegas residency. How you guys liking it? How's it going for y'all?
Well, it's a one-off. We're only doing one show here. We've considered a residency for a while, and that's kind of been thrown around. But tonight we're going to enjoy Mandalay Bay Beach, and we performed here, I'm going to say 5 or 6 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, something like 5 years.
Had a blast, great turnout, and hoping for the same results tonight. We're just happy to be back out there with people in the audience.
And then you're going to go to the Chippendales after that? Or what are you guys doing after that?
Yeah, the Chippendales days are far behind me. They're in the rearview mirror now. But, we'll see.
We try and slide singles at him, and it doesn't even bat an eye. He just misses it.
I'm used to $100 bills.
Wait, what did you say?
He retired his bow tie.
I mean, I feel like you and Channing Tatum need to like do like a revival tour. You know what I mean? Like just go back out there and like own it.
Anytime I can get mentioned in the same breath as a stud like Channing Tatum, I'm happy with that.
No, I love that. And go ahead, Ben.
So how long has it been since you guys have performed together?
Last weekend.
I thought y'all were like, I thought it had been a while.
No, we've done our first show back from, since pre-COVID end of August, New York State Fair. So
that was the first time in a while.
But, it's kind of been, we would go off for 10 years and then we got together and then we did, pretty much consistently since 2013.
2012, 2013. We've been back for a while. We toured with Boyz II Men and New Kids on a big
huge.
Yeah. I remember that one.
I got it for sure.
Do you guys ever feel though that you have like this pressure to come back because when you guys were on your hiatus and then like kind of Backstreet came back and then, so it's like, did you ever feel like, okay, like we have to do that too to kind of, I don't know.
I think we just came back because we love what we do and we missed it and we missed each other and making music. And that's something that we've always been passionate about. So it took longer for us to get it back together than it probably should have. But it felt like riding a bike and, we're just really just went right back into it. And after having 18 months off because of the pandemic, we were really anxious to get back to it. And so fortunately, here we are. We're in Vegas and we got a show.
Because of the wives, right? Like all the wives, you were like, okay, we're ready to go back out on the road.
Us to get back on the road. They're kicking us out of the house.
They're like, your fans miss you. Go.
No, for sure. I have one of, my girlfriends, her husband is an artist and she like always complained about him being gone. And then when the pandemic hit, she was just like, oh my God, he won't leave. I'm like, Kristen, you complained about it for years that he's never home. And now it's like, you're complaining that he's home. Like, I'm like, which one do you want? Like, so.
The grass is always greener, right?
I know. Wives. It's a thing. Okay. Least, what's your favorite song that you sing, out?
In our show, it's kind of whichever one the fans are, going the most nuts for that night. I think for me, probably, Because of You is up there. I mean, it's got that kind of this like nostalgic routine that we do with the microphones that we've been doing since the first time we ever performed it. And the fans really kind of go nuts for that one.
Yeah. I mean, for me, Invisible Man, but look, it's not obscure, but True to Your Heart seems to be a fan favorite. The one we did with Stevie Wonder, the Disney one. So I guess our fans grew up with that song. And so anytime we perform that, they get super excited and a lot of energy with that one.
I mean, my high school boyfriend played I Do to me when he gave me his like class ring. It didn't work out. So I kind of like don't like that song now. But I'm like,
thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you later. Thank you.
All right. This worked out well.
I mean, but it's okay. Old flames. It's fine. It's totally fine. So are you guys you're playing, when are you guys playing? Is it tonight?
Tonight, a couple hours here. Oh,
Beach. What are we doing? Let's go tonight.
Yeah, we should go.
We'll leave some tickets for you.
Where is it in Mandalay Bay?
Yes. Yeah. Make sure.
Done. There we go. Wait, I have one request though, as a fan, because I'm a huge fan of the Christmas album. So I know it's September, but
your favorite.
Would you play one Christmas song for me?
I don't know.
Okay, cool.
So we are going to do I Do, though.
It's full disclosure, so you might not want to come. Exactly. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like we're already on the rocks here, so this is like I'm not really sure.
Their Christmas album legitimately is your favorite, though.
Of all time.
Yeah. Like,
I start, like, obsessed. No joke, I start listening to it in June.
Yep.
Thank you. So, I love that. We love that.
I mean, I told Nick that, too. I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is like my, like,
yeah,
my everything. So I love you guys.
Well, you named another one of our songs.
We have a song by everything.
So I know, and I love it. So I'm so glad you got that. I was like, I know, that was my little, like, I'm a nerd.
American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. You guys are so, do you guys, like, at this age, I know, but, like, you guys probably don't, but, like, who kind of ruffles the feathers a little bit more between the four of y'all?
We all razz each other and joke around a lot. I mean, it's always constant. And
yeah, by ruffling feathers, you mean like bust each other's balls or like pisses people off?
Both.
Probably me.
Yeah, true.
For both of them.
True.
Probably for both of them is probably me. Yeah.
I think I
have the least amount of filter.
No, it's good to admit it. But I feel like when you get older too, it's like, I feel like if I was to go back on the bus with the band guys, it's like now it's like, oh, we're all old. Like, we're not going to like, there's nothing catty. There's like, we're not going to fight. Like, yeah, we're just like, have fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I'd
like,
agree with that.
It's probably got to be the same for you guys too. You're like, you're all married. You got kids. Like,
but make no mistake. We know how to have fun.
He's like, wait a minute.
Hold up. Well, you guys, thank you so much. And leave tickets for Jana and Catherine, and we'll see you there.
We'll see you there. Thanks for having us.
All right, perfect. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
Do we have any Q&A? How much are they getting any advice for mom who's kid there is? Next year. Okay. Hey, Molly. And by the way, thank you again to everyone who's watching right now. Jolie. Oh, this is actually funny. So for the wind down listeners, Jace had a little incident at school, so he hasn't been going to school. But you'll hear about that on next week's episode.
2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. What kind of went down with that. But Jolie is loving school. She's obsessed with kindergarten. And I think the only advice that I would have for you, Molly, is just be excited for them too. Like, I hid my tears from her because I don't want her to go to school being like, why was my mommy crying or why was she upset? So I made sure, like, I got balloons. I had this cute little sign for her and was just like, you're going to kindergarten. I'm so excited. And then I got into my car and I cried.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't want her to see me sad.
No, I was asking if you cried. For some reason, I didn't think you cried.
I cried when the bus drove away.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, it's all fair. I mean, it's hard.
Did you cry? You're like, no.
No. Third kid. Bye. It's time to go. Sorry. I mean, love my kids and I'll get like kind of teary, like, but no. I love it.
I mean, it kind of teary's a lot for you.
True. Unless I'm in therapy.
What advice would you have for Molly?
Okay. So I've got three kids. What advice would I have? I mean, I think that was pretty good advice. Just showing them that it's fun and no stress. Like, they're not reading yet or they're not doing this yet. Don't worry about it. They will all catch up.
Having said that, I have
Here we go.
I'm saying, no, it's not about the learning part.
Okay.
Because I'll go on for a while with that one. But the, I was walking with two of my girlfriends.
It's fine. What was that? You're fine.
Okay.
It's just falling.
Okay. I was walking with two of my girlfriends in the neighborhood and their girls didn't want to go to kindergarten. So their trick was the background's about to fall. So the trick was to basically they're telling their kids, Pamela and Sue are telling Harlow and Nora that the cops will come get them if they don't go to school.
Well, they have to go to school. There is truancy.
No. But like the cops
are not
going
come
to
get them.
Get
they're
the
going to get Pam.
But that scares the kids.
Yeah. Okay.
So
well, we might not want to.
Yeah. But you know, if you want to. Good job, Easton.
Saving the day.
Saving the day. Any other questions? Maybe one more before we get the amazing Teddy Mellencamp on. What role, Easton, what role have you always wanted to play? I have always wanted to play.
I bet I can answer this.
Go ahead. Oh, now you want to know me?
Oh, I can't think of the name of it now. Shoot, that old-timey movie that you love. Got it. I'm Best Friend Again.
Yeah. No, you don't even know the name of the movie.
Well, that doesn't mean I don't know what role you want to play.
Like, I know that you hate We Are the Millers. I know that it's you terrible. Don't like Affection. Okay, I know.
Okay. Anyway, like, I know that old-timey movie. What's it called?
Pride and Prejudice. Pride and Prejudice. With Keira Knightley. I want to find my Mr. Darcy. Mr. Darcy. So, like, one of those, like, old-time movies. And I'm super pumped because we're going to have Teddy Mellencamp with us in the next minute. She I think she's in the room now.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's do it. Teddy!
Hi! Teddy! Oh my gosh! You have to excuse me. I just got off a plane. I am like dead man walking, but I am here.
No, I love you. You look awesome. You look like you don't even have stitch of makeup on and you look beautiful.
Well, thank you. You guys look awesome.
I love you. I'm sorry. I just like probably screamed in your ear.
She's got her earbuds.
No, I you know, we have four kids. I'm used to screaming all the time.
Catherine, I'm going to embarrass her for a second. She's a huge fan of yours.
I love you.
She's my best friend and she's like obsessed with you.
I love you.
And she was so angry that I've like talked to you before without her. So now, Catherine, you've got the floor.
No, I don't have anything to say. I just love you.
Well,
I'm just kidding. She's going to be mad at me. No, hi.
Hi. It's so I've been seeing your guys' adventures and trips and it looks so fun. It's always, you know, the best to be able to have like your bestie, your person to be able to go do all these exciting things with.
Yes, that is fun. Okay. So I have a question then along there. Okay, obviously, I mean, I'm sure you get sick of like housewives questions, so I won't.
It is what it is.
You know, you're not going to ask her any housewives?
I'm going to keep it down.
Okay. She wants you to, okay, got it.
I'm not going to go crazy, but like speaking of friends, like are you still friends with, I know you're still friends with Kyle, you know, are you still friends with them? Do you still hang with them or what?
Yeah, I'm still friends with them. I talk to Kyle and Dorit and Rena and Erica still. So
that's great.
Yeah. We were the Provence Five because we were the only ones that made it to Provence. Nobody else could come because somebody had quit. Then there was fires in Malibu. So like, that's when we all got really close because trying to make a reality show with only five people that all really like each other is very difficult. So.
Well, don't they like want you guys to not like each other though?
Yeah. That's where it gets tricky. And that was the night that I am so obliterated. Like we went wine tasting and like I was overserved and like Kyle and I thought it was a good idea to like take one of the bottles of wine and like drink it on the way back to the house. I don't even remember getting dressed for the dinner that was filmed. Like that's, you know, because you just know that you have to bring up stuff. And so that was my coping mechanism. Don't recommend.
Yeah.
But she did bring up, and we'll go off of that in 1 second, but she did, cause I was like, I didn't even know why you got off the show too. Like I didn't understand it. Like I thought like you were amazing on the show. Like it didn't make sense to me. And then she was kind of saying like, well, she's been back on. And I'm like, and then we were kind of talking about like, how would that feel to basically like come back when.
Well, and my thought process and why I liked you so much is because you are real and you're not just gonna cause drama to cause drama. I mean, we all love reality TV and we all whatever, but you just seem really cool and real. And so I was like, I bet it's because she doesn't just cause drama to cause drama. You know, I mean,
I think the hard part for me was I really didn't know it was coming. I remember I had even referred you, Jana, and
I know. All of a sudden we got picked up of all that. I was like, well, to maybe play Teddy's friend, you know?
Yeah. And they end up hiring my other friend, Crystal. So I was, you know, I had no idea. And I actually was announced on Daily Mail. So I emailed my agents. I'm like, what's up? You know, like, cause in my mind, I had never been told that I was doing something wrong or not, you know, but I knew that I was getting a lot of heat that season. Why? And, you know, because of stuff that I brought up with Denise and, you know, all of that. And the truth of the matter is it's being on a reality television show while you're pregnant. Oh. And you're filming three or four different things a day. Like I was just exhausted. And I don't think I was able to really be myself because you're just like, I'm not the world's best pregnant person. And I think,
sorry, I don't know many that are like, I was
for the worst. Yeah.
Like, so it's just like, I was struggling to be there and stay present. And, also like they're able to drink and have fun and do all that. I'm like flying across the country, 7.5 months pregnant to go, you know, get in an altercation with Denise Richards. It's not ideal.
Yeah, that doesn't.
So it's, you know, but, and I think also the other thing was you didn't really see much of my first season, which was the best one for me. You saw a bunch of my life. You saw me with work. You saw me with my kids. You saw me going on dates with my husband. The second two, you didn't really see any of that. So if you only see somebody in drama, you're not going to relate to them.
Well, and that's kind of what I was, you know, when Jana and I had talked about, because we worked together, when we talked about her doing a reality show, I compared a lot to her. And I'm like, well, we got to see Teddy's businesses. You got to see her family. You got to see in the first season, like you said, and I think it can be beneficial if you get to show that and show your businesses and help grow your businesses. But that would be tough if they take that away, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, if they make you like be super, you know, dramatic too, because then it's like, then other people are going to look at you and that could affect your business too.
Yeah. I mean, I think because I had a huge year last year. So there were so many things, like the fact that I was able to get pregnant and have a miracle baby. Like there was a point where they were filming me taking 8 different pregnancy tests and then the reveal to my kids, which my kids like bawled, and we did it with a book. Like there were so many things. So when you watch that stuff back, you can't, when people are like, oh, it's the editing. No, it's never the editing. Anything that you say or you do, you did. But they can choose what they want to show of you.
Sure.
So, you know, I didn't really love watching myself last season either, because only seeing myself in that setting was kind of as well too.
Speaking of your business though, I mean, you just said you had, you know, a great year. So how's everything going and where do you see kind of your, where do you see it like transitioning to? Is it on the right path? Like, is it not the right path, but is it like, are you going to do other things with it? Like, were you do clothing too? Did I just see you do? Like,
I did a little bit of clothing, but I just kind of did it so that I have something for clients. So I'll do small little batch releases and then the clients will buy it. It'll sell right out. And then I'm kind of done with it. But like clothing isn't really my thing. It's more, I'm more into what makes you feel better. And the part that we've switched is now we've given more options. So before it was, you know, food and workout and, you know, but you can now pick what it is that you actually want to work on. So if you just wanted to join the program because you haven't worked out in a year, or maybe you've never worked out in your life, we work with that individual on solely that. But then what people don't end up realizing is when you sign up to change your life and you're actually held accountable to doing so, which no gyms do or anything like that, they're just happy to take your money every week, is like you really have that support. And you have the proof that you're going to do it. So then all of a sudden you start doing it and then you are able to go ask for that raise at your job or leave the, you know, abusive husband, or it always turns into something so much more, because when you're feeling good, everything is better.
So do you have like a personal coach with each person, or how does that work? Is there like a tier for that, or does everybody get that personal coach?
No, there's, you know, I have over 29 coaches. And so we put, you know, once we get your questionnaire, we kind of put you with what we think would be best for you and what you think you would need. Like, I am more like transparent in your face. Like, you know, if you want a little bit more like tough love, you're going to be good with me. But then I have some that are just the kindest, most, you know, like it really just depends on what, but you can get that in the questionnaire. Like, I'm a competitive person. So like for me, I need someone to go, all right, what are your goals today? You did this yesterday. So how are you going to top that tomorrow? But I know that not everybody's like me. Mm-hmm. So it really is just about pairing the people that make most sense. Or if somebody has anxiety, they'd be good with this person. If somebody has struggled with postpartum depression, I'm going to put them with a coach that once did. Because the one thing that I didn't sell out on, which everybody wanted me to when I first started All In, was everybody was saying, oh, just hire everybody, just hire so you can fill it up. And I refused. And I only hired from within. So you had to have graduated from the program in order.
I never realized that.
Yeah. So everybody practices what they preach. Cause I know when I was struggling with feeling comfortable in my own skin, you know, after having Cruise and I'd gained, you know, over 80 pounds and I just really, and I wasn't losing it. My friends, it was falling off of them. And I just remember the last thing I wanted to do was walk into a SoulCycle class and see somebody looking perfect on the bike in my head, I already had, she's never struggled. She's never had to go through that. You know, it just created anger. But if what, you know, people know that you actually live it and breathe it and have felt the exact same way, you feel a lot more comforted.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense. Is there one kind of constant variable that you see in people that have a hard time like making that jump?
You know, I think there's two things. I think that oftentimes you want to surround yourself with misery loves company people. So, you know, if you're down on yourself or you're not taking care of yourself, all of a sudden you realize you may meet up with that friend or you may sit down with that husband and all you guys do is complain and you just get stuck in this negative pattern. So I think a big thing for people is figuring out healthy, fun ways to be together, whether it's let's go on a bike ride or let's go on a hike or let's do this, to just kind of change that. And then the other thing is, you know, people's favorite thing to say to anybody when they want to change their life is, come on, live a little. Mm-hmm. And when people say that, it can really hurt them, like makes them feel bad, like what they're doing isn't enough. But what the truth is if somebody's saying that to you, it's because it's something that's going on in themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
like, wait, so you're coming to Vegas. When are you going to be in Vegas?
I'm going to Vegas tomorrow. Yeah.
What time are we going to be here? Can we go work out?
Like, I know. Let's do something.
I want to work out.
I know. We have to see each other. I'm so excited. Yeah. I get to Vegas tomorrow, I think at like 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Too late.
Too late.
I gotta work out in the morning, but like, we can definitely drink. I will run.
Why don't
to
we
make
gamble
sure.
And drink instead of work out?
Yeah. We'll see.
Let me Sorry. Know. I'm like, yeah.
I know. We have to make sure that our paths that cross in some capacity.
No, I love it. Who are you excited to see?
I mean, it's probably kind of bad to say, but I have a crush on Nelly a little bit after Dancing with the Stars. So I'm really excited to see
him. That's awesome.
Is your husband coming tomorrow?
Yes, of course. Well, I was like, honey, any chance? I'm allowed a plus one. Can I just, I'm thinking about bringing a friend. And he's like, well, who's go? And he's like, oh, Nelly, no, I'm in. I'm coming.
You're like, yeah, no, not happening. You're like, oh, honey, your COVID test came back and it's positive. Oh. You need to quarantine.
Rats. You know what? I'm going to bring my daughter, honey. You know.
Oh, my gosh. I love. Well, we have to figure out a way to see each other tomorrow because I love you. You guys have to meet. We'll do something. And we'll all sing Nelly really, really, really loud. Yes.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good. Great.
I love you, Teddy.
Love you too. Bye, babes. Yeah, bye. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Love her.
You okay?
She's great. I'm great. I love her.
You're great? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's so sweet.
She's cool. I just think she's really, just really cool. Chill. Yeah. I know. I like chill people. I mean, I like to watch the drama too, but I like chill.
You love the
drama. I
love
drama. The drama, but like I really like,
I hear it. Like chill people. You're like,
because I'm chill.
Questions?
Okay. Oh. This is for me. Okay. Thanks, Benjamin. Who was your favorite OTH character besides Jana? I feel like there was like two, like the first characters and then the second characters. Like the first couple seasons.
So the first
and
wave.
Then, yeah, the first
so
wave. And
who
the,
was the first wave?
I mean, I always loved Sophia. I'll be honest. I always loved her.
She's awesome.
She was just kind of a badass. Mm-hmm. You know.
No, ass is fine.
Ass is fine. Okay, sorry.
You can say anything.
Okay. I actually really did like you. I'm not going to lie. I actually really liked your character.
Thank you.
I really did. And then
what about
how
boys?
It's been so long.
Nathan.
Ooh, you know.
Scott. What's his name?
No, I was more what's his face. See, I can't even.
Chad Michael
how
Murray?
Yeah. That was Lucas.
Lucas. Right?
I liked Lucas. But then I think I liked the older your cast more, like Chantel. And now I know Chantel's them by their names.
Great.
I'm trying to think of who the characters are.
Well, now that
are,
I know that you were like, you must be excited then because we're going to a little One Tree Hill convention in Lucas.
Oh, yeah. No, I am excited. So, you remember last year you didn't take me. You took the nanny.
Yeah.
I was secretly pissed.
And then I fired her because she lied to me.
Okay. I booked it, but I didn't get to go. But I get to go this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's amazing. Now that I know you're actually a stalker
tell
fan.
I don't even remember their names on the show.
I'm kidding.
I was so young.
Next question.
Okay. Thanks.
Would I ever be on the Housewives if there was a Real Housewives of Nashville? No. Why are you upset about that? Because you want the drama.
Well, I don't want you involved in the drama. I really don't want you involved in the drama.
You know, I can't handle it, girlfriend. I can't handle the drama.
You can't. It's fair.
I can't do it.
I don't think a Nashville Housewives would do that great anyway.
They've tried.
Yeah, I don't think it would. No.
They've tried. It hasn't succeeded.
But
I just.
Other ones?
Don't. I don't like fighting with girls. I didn't go to college. I don't like sororities.
Yeah.
I love girls. But I don't like, I don't want drama.
Okay. That's fine.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Next question.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this.
So I have a song called Voices coming out September 24th. So next Friday. And it's a song all about just listening, not listening to the voices in your head. And it was a huge help for me. He's been super pumped. It was a huge help for me. When I went through my divorce. So I'm really excited for people to hear the song, and I just hope it resonates.
It's so good. I'm so excited.
Thanks.
Have you heard it yet, Easton? Okay.
You haven't heard it
yet?
I'll
send it to you.
I'll play it for you. It's a little poppy, but it leans a little pop, but it's okay. I'll go back to country. I go in and out. I sway in and I sway out.
Oh, Brittany. Hi, Brittany.
Hi, Britt.
Was just emailing with you.
And now we know that Catherine is a huge One Tree Hiller.
Thanks. The people that I deal with to book the show. Yes, love One Tree Hill. Yes. What was the question? Now I forgot what the question was. What was my favorite song?
What was your favorite song of Janice?
Ooh, that's hard. When You're Lonely is a good one. Uh-huh. Last song.
Is this lesson?
So good. So good. I have so many. Give me a ballad that she does, and I'm like here for it.
I like
what's the other one?
I like Over You By Now and Good As You Were Bad.
Good As You Were Bad. Good As You Were Bad. Yeah, that one.
I want to hate you.
I'll see you in November, Brittany.
I love that song. God, it's such a good song. I want to bring that one back.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I don't know. You have to ask my manager.
We're talking about, okay, would you do a wind down tour again? I went to the one in Boston and loved it. We're talking about kind of reinventing it and then the COVID stuff kind of. So yes, I think we would. Yes.
I would love to. I thought it was a lot of fun. Obviously Mike won't be there, but we'll reinvent it and just hopefully I'd love to, because it's so fun to be able to do this. Talk, hang out, and then also sing songs afterwards. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like we're all – and after I do that show and then sing songs, it's just so – I don't know. It just feels like we're all like friends, you know? So I like it. There's something else. Oh, what's your least favorite song of mine? I have many.
Goodbye, California is one of my least favorite.
Really?
Sorry, Easton. I'm sorry.
You don't like Goodbye California?
I don't love it.
Wow.
Okay
then.
You asked.
I know. I love it.
I got to think about the others.
I mean, I could name five off the top of my head.
I mean, right now. I just, I have to think about it.
My first album, like I just wish I had more of a hand in. I just wanted to make my producer happy, who was also my A&R guy. So I was like, you like it, I like it. And now I'm like, oh God, I have to sing Good Time Coming On again. Good time coming on.
Yeah, that was kind of.
That's just like, that's a doozy.
Good time coming on. There was one more on there, I think.
That one's a total doose fest. I mean,
I messed up them though.
Yeah. I Hope It Rains was fun.
Yeah, that one was fun.
That one failed though. There's a few. Anyways, any other questions?
Oh.
Would I ever have another spontaneous Vegas wedding? Nope.
Please no.
As a joke, sure. But no, I won't actually, would ever. But I will say this, because I had a conversation with someone, because someone asked me if I'd get married again. And what I said was, yes. And as crazy as that sounds, I want to get married again because I want to show my kids what a healthy marriage looks like.
I think that's great.
So for me, it's just something I want. And they're like, well, you can still be in a relationship and just not sign the paper. I was like, I think it's different.
And what's the point in that? Just because they don't want you to sign the paper? Who cares?
Like it's like a Goldie Hawn situation.
But who cares?
Who cares what?
Like, what's the difference in being in that relationship, not signing the papers, and then the papers being signed?
I mean, well,
people that would say that.
Well, then what's the difference of
the papers not being signed?
Papers being signed.
Good point.
I need the paper signed. I need the legality of the marriage. You are married when you sign the documents, but I will never change my last name again. Mark my words on that one, because she's sick of changing all my air flight miles and this and that and whatever. So, Sally, is there a TV show that you would like to get casted in, and what show? Well, I just auditioned for The Resident, so fingers crossed. I would love to be on that show, but I would love to do Ozark, anything with Jason Bateman. Love him. I would love to be in Sweet Magnolias. I think that's a good one. Virgin River. Some kind of show like that.
Pretty good. I mean, Tilly. Oh, I love this question. Okay. Catherine, what is Jana's best quality / worst quality? This is so fun.
Whew. Let's start with the worst first so you can end on a high note. Okay?
Okay. I have to think about this.
Worst quality. I'll tell you your worst quality.
Okay. She jumped at that so fast. Okay, fair. Go.
You're not affectionate.
Yeah.
And your best quality is that you're the best friend I could have ever asked for, because you are the most supportive, loving. Like, you're just like, oh, like if someone was to say, like, make a perfect best friend,
I would
mold you.
Oh, that's sweet. Except for I won't hold your hand.
Yeah. Minus that.
I'm sorry. Okay. Worst quality. Oh, you don't have a whole lot of worst qualities. I think your worst quality is.
Easton's like, I can answer one of those for you.
Is listening to the negative voices in your head, not to tie it back to the song or anything, but seriously.
Such a good manager.
But you listen to the negative voices in your head too much and you overanalyze what everything means. What does that mean?
No joke. Someone texted me the other day and it was like, this person said, let's just say I'm in quotation. This person said, I look nice and I'm really fun to be around and I'm a great mom. And I go, but what does this mean? And my friend goes, that you're a great mom and that you.
Case in point.
Yeah.
That's her worst quality.
Thanks.
Your best quality. You have a lot of great qualities. I think one of your best qualities, I can't say that you're a best friend and I would mold you and all that. One of your best qualities is that you see the good in everybody, even if they don't see it in themselves. And I think you're really good at making people feel good about themselves and confident in themselves. And I think through all of therapy and all the things that you've done in your life, you're really good at passing along that and helping other people. I think you really, really, really want to help other people and you succeed.
I love that. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
You have a lot of good qualities, though.
Thanks, babe. Yeah.
Well, that's a good question.
So we are, I believe we're going to have Chrissy Metz on, right, guys? What's the plan?
I think we should bring Easton on this.
You know what? I was actually just going to do that exact same thing. So
that was my idea.
Easton.
Now that he's mad at me because I said I don't like Goodbye, California.
You know, I think we should sing it for him.
Oh. I like the birds. It's too. You drove tattooed down in the country where the daffodils bloom. I like your mouth. Staying a sexy hot plane. Country fried chicken is a beautiful thing.
I can't.
What I want to do is hug and hold you. Hello to well and so goodbye. California.
I will do the entire song.
It's a little like boppy.
That's fun. I mean, Jana, I love Jana in a boppy wavelength. That's something I love the most.
I like depressing slow music, so
that's okay.
That is fantastic. I don't know the first verse, though. Oh,
can we talk about this? Oh, the dinosaurs on his face.
My mask.
Hello.
Is that
how it goes?
I don't know.
Oh, you want to hear the new song? Quick way?
Oh.
Why not?
Sure.
Why not? Can we?
I mean, we make the rules, so sure.
Sure, let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. When she's pulling it up from an email, that's how you know it's an early cut.
That's fine.
Right?
They can't.
Is that okay on y'all's end?
Right?
Does it matter on y'all's end?
How about I just play the first chorus. Doesn't matter for us. Doesn't matter for us. Does it matter for y'all?
Tight back.
Oh my God. Okay, ready? So okay, but if you hate it, like, it's okay. Sometimes you have to listen to it a few times.
Okay. Worst quality. I'm fighting voices in my head. Voices in my head telling me that I'm not enough. I'm not pretty and I'm broken. I'm not worthy of love. Voices in my head telling me that I should give up. I'm fighting voices in my head.
Okay, that's it. That's all I'm playing for you.
Oh my God, that is so
do you like
good.
It?
So good, right?
Yes.
Thanks.
Oh my God. So that comes out, what, September 24th?
September 24th.
Oh my
Next
God.
And that's all that matters is that Easton likes it. You know what I mean?
That's
at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Oh, I love you.
Thanks
for coming to sit on this couch, buddy.
Thank you for having
You're
me.
The best. And everyone go get his popcorn.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, popcorn.
Caramel corn popcorn at
thankyoupopcorn.com.
Thankyoupopcorn.com. I believe we have Chrissy.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I am too. How are you?
Good. How are you?
So good. It's such a pleasure to be able to talk to you for a few minutes today. You having a good day?
Yes. I just got off of work just in time to chat with you guys.
Nice. How are you like prepping yourself? Because I am like a last day on set. Like I warn everybody and I'm like, look, I won't be able to form words. I just start crying. Like when they say like, and that's a whatever rap or whatever, like, it's just like, it flows. And then I ghost because it's like the saying goodbye to everybody. I just can't do it. So I just am like, thank you. Like, but it's like, are you prepping yourself? Because this role has changed your life.
For sure. I mean, 180 degrees. It's like, it's kind of ridiculous. And yes, honey, the flows and the go, right? The flows and the ghost, that might be me. Yeah, I mean, we're already talking about like, oh my gosh, you know, how what an incredible ride we've had and how it's been lightning in a bottle. And so I have no idea because I cry no matter what, no matter when and how. So I have no idea what it's going to be like on the last day. But I'm just trying to relish, you know, every moment that we have because, you know, time flies. It really just sort of slips through your hands. So.
Well, and kind of like, this is something too. I don't know if you ever, well, I'm sure because it's like, I feel like being an actor sometimes just really sucks. Cause I'm like, oh, cool. I'm now unemployed in about 5 hours, you know? And then it's like,
that too.
All right. Like, and so does that, I mean, obviously you're going to have no issues, but is there that voice in your head, no pun intended, but being like, hey, you know, like this is, you have to go back to that, that world again of just, finding it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah. And I guess that's the neuroses of an actor or just sort of the name of the game. But, you know, luckily I'm working on music and I'm so grateful because that's another way that I get to tell stories. And it's a huge love of mine. And I'm producing and starring in a movie. I don't know when the script will be done. And I have no idea who the director might be at this point. We're looking for a really great female director. The story is a woman who hiked Kilimanjaro at 300 pounds and summited. And, you know, we all have a mountain in our life, no matter what size or weight or where we come from. And so I'm excited about that. I just don't know when that will be going. But yes, all of that to say, I'm very worried about like, what's going to happen next? But you know, it's life.
But the crazy, an amazing thing about that is like, you probably never would have imagined that This Is Us was going to be right around the corner. So it's like, imagine what's next. Like, and almost look at it. And it's like excited too, because it's like, if you like this, there's amazing stuff that's going to keep happening.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I hope so. And, you know, I also believe that everything is in the right timing, you know, when the right projects come and you're really a conduit for the role or for the project. And so whatever's meant to be will be. And, but like the human form, the non-spiritual side is like, girl. So, but yeah, it will happen when it will be and is supposed to happen. So.
When did you start singing?
Oh gosh. I mean, I started singing really in middle school. My mom could not afford a band instrument, and all the cool kids were playing the cute flutes and the piccolos. And they're like, oh, we have a baritone. And I don't know if you're familiar, for folks who are listening, a baritone is basically a mini tuba. Y'all, when I tell you, I was like, okay, I am not trying to be the girl who's carrying around a mini tuba. Like, I can't. Even if you wanted to, we couldn't afford it. So it was really middle school when I started singing in a choir, and it sort of opened up my world. So
yeah. I love that. I'm still in denial that it's the final season. Sorry, I can't get over this.
I'm with you. I am with you.
Are you? Is there going to be a happy ending? Like, can you just at least tell me that?
Yeah, give us something.
I really do think that everybody will feel a beautiful sense of closure and contentment. I really do. You know, Dan Fogelman, who's our writer creator, he's not going to leave anybody hanging, you know, and he just told us what's happening this season. And I was like, what? Like, I had the idea, but I didn't know the particulars. And so it's going to be a wild, bumpy, wonderful ride. So
where do you want your music? Like where are you looking to go with your music? Like, do you have are you wanting to be more in like the country world, more like where, or more? Yeah.
It's so hard. I have been influenced by so many genres of music growing up, but really it's leaning country and country soul. And you know, when I signed with Universal, and which was a dream come true, like, do what? And we started working on the album, and I got to work with so many incredible songwriters and musicians. I was like, this can't be real, you know, and all the beautiful instruments that are used in country music, and the storytelling is what I'm really always so, you know, pulled towards. So yeah, I think that that's where it's sort of going to land and stay for a while. Who knows? I might evolve like Madonna. We'll never know. You know, hopefully we'll know, but maybe we won't ever know. But she's been obviously an incredible person who's sort of like stayed with it and kept going, and that's hard. So I'm just trying to get.
For sure.
Yeah.
Is there a like a role too that like you're still like, hey, this would be something that, I mean, obviously that the movie that you're talking about sounds incredible, but is there something else where like I really want to like attack this, you know, in my career?
Yeah, I got a chance to do an episode of The Last OG, which is Tracy Morgan's show
on
CBS. And it's so far from Kate Pearson that people are like, that was you? So comedy really has been something so dear and important to me. And it's gotten me through the hardest times of my life, right? If you don't laugh, you'll cry. And comedy stems from tragedy. So I would love to do an amazing comedy. I would love to do a period piece. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that I'd love to do. So
how do you not let the voices that can be let in from outside people not affect you as who you are and the light that you are?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think so much of it is that nobody knows what anybody's going through at any given time. And I think that as cheesy as it might sound or cliche, it's like when people are hurtful or hateful toward someone else, it's so not about you. It's just like a projection of how they feel and their insecurities. And so you cannot combat hate with hate. Like, you literally have to like hold space for someone and be positive about it and just say like, oh gosh, like they're hurting. Because if you're truly happy, if you're truly like fulfilled, you cannot be hateful. Like, you just can't. Like, it's not possible. And so I just have to think like, oh my, like I remember when I was that girl in high school, jealous of some cute girl's skirt. And I was like, because I couldn't wear it or I didn't feel comfortable wearing it or whatever. And it was like all of my projection onto them. And that's obviously a very small example, but I just try to have grace and mercy around that, even though it's very challenging. And also, you know, nothing is personal. Like, how anybody feels about me is their perception, and their perception is their reality, but it's not mine. And, you know, it's just, I feel like we're all made from love with love to love, you know? And sometimes we get, you know, a little lost on our way. So, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, no, I think I have a hard time with like, cause I want to be like, well, you don't know me, get to know me. Or like, it's like, I want to like, I could never understand someone that can write nasty DMs to someone that they know nothing. They don't know, like you said, they don't know that it's a true story. I mean, it's just, I hate that. And cause I could never imagine like my daughter writing like something nasty to someone like on a DM, you know? So, but again, like you said, it's like we all kind of are having our internal struggles and, but
yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But I just, when's your album coming out then?
Well, I'm hoping whenever we can plan a tour, because I had one planned, a 12-city tour, of course, before COVID happened. So, you know, I don't know. And now, you know, as you change, I mean, every day we change, but hopefully we're evolving. But I'm sort of a different person than I was 3 years ago and 2 years ago. And I'm like, oh, so I'm trying to outwrite the song. So, you know, I'm hoping that I'll feel really content with, you know, the 10 or 12 songs that we're going to choose. So, I'm hoping within the year, but y'all, who knows?
I know. We know. It's a moving target. And then when are you coming to Vegas? Are you going to be here tomorrow?
I'm going to be here tomorrow.
Woo, girlfriend. Nice. Well, if I see you, I'm going to randomly, the random stranger that just kind of like attacks you, I'm like, you talked to me yesterday.
Perfect. So, I would love that.
I know. But thank you so much. And we'll see you here tomorrow for the iHeart Music Festival.
I'll be there.
Okay. All right. Thank bye, girlfriend.
Bye.
All right, we've got Debbie Gibson. Let's bring her on in.
Oh my Debbie! God.
Oh my gosh.
Guys, there's so much going on. I just got off stage from soundcheck. In fact, my partner in crime, Joey Mack, is still out there. I said, do your thing, because he's making me feel like a slacker because he put new stuff in his set.
This is why you do things together with someone so that when one person can pick up the slack when the other person, you know what I mean?
Like, I know, it's amazing.
You miss the duo calling because one person can do.
So true.
Yeah, yeah.
How's the tour going?
Well, it's just a sit down here in Vegas. It's been an extended run and I'm a local here. So we're having a blast. It's going great. The first four shows were sold out. So they added four more and these are those four and we're getting ready to hit the stage literally in, I don't know, like an hour and a half or something.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for talking to us for 5 minutes.
But, of course.
I love you. You're incredible. I mean, you're like an idol. So just,
let me just like, it's so nice to meet you virtually.
I know. So nice to meet you too. I mean, you've had an incredible career and obviously, you know, hit songs and everyone knows who you are. And now you're out here in Vegas. What's been like the best part of meeting people old and new and who, especially for those one who are like, start to listen to your music? Is there something that like, which one's almost like better in a way?
You know, it's like right now there's like this rediscovery period of my music and people are kind of connecting the original, the older music to the new music. I have the new album out, The Body Remembers. And it feels as exciting as my first chapter in a lot of ways, or even more exciting because I'm so present for it now. And when I was a little kid, it was a whirlwind. It was exciting, but it was just like, you know, I had all to do to keep up. Right now I'm taking in every moment. I'm savoring every moment. I just did my meet and greet here at the Venetian and people are so kind. I think people are like so much kinder right now and so excited to meet musical artists because of, you know, the state of the world and the chaos and the fact that people were deprived of live shows for so long. So when people are kind of like rediscovering me now and the new music, it's like nostalgic for people, but I think that people are feeling so vital and vibrant and connecting to the new as well. And I love that about it. I feel like, especially in my generation, especially the females, I feel like there are so many ageless, vibrant, vital females that want to get out there and be a part of the music scene and a part of, you know, the audience for their favorites. And that's what I'm experiencing right now. It's an exciting time.
And I mean, you still hold the record, right, for being the youngest
female. Yes, youngest female to have written and produced and performed a number one song. I'm like, come on, girls, break my record. I'm ready to pass the torch.
Oh.
I mean, listen, my ego loves it. My ego could hear that phrase with my name forever. But and look, there are so many unbelievably talented young female artists now, and who are writing and are producing. But yeah, I did that at 17, and still hold the record to date with the song "Foolish Beat."
And you're still, I mean, you. It's like you're still like here and doing it and loving it and just so positive. And like, what has kept you grounded through all these years?
I mean, the thing is, like, I think about this all the time. It's, you know, I never wanted to be famous for the sake of being famous. I have a true passion for music. And I think if you have a true passion for something, it will keep you going. I mean, it's such a deep connection I have to music, and it's my primary way I communicate and commune with people. And so it's not something that I can see ever stopping, because I'm always evolving as a person, and the way I document my evolution is through music. And that's, you know, it's always going to be my passion. So I think that, like, if people focus on, again, their passion from the outside in, and not from, I mean, from the inside out, not the outside in, where it's like, you know, you have people going, well, I want to make money, and I want to, you know, I just feel like my connection is strong and it's pure, and my motivation is pure and strong in why I do what I do. So that's what's kept me going all these years. I love people. I really love people. So the fact that I get to connect with people through music is really like I'm living that dream.
I love that. And how's your heart? Do we have is the man still in your life, or what's going on?
No, there's not been a man for like almost 4 years. I was in a decade long relationship that was, it was great while it was great, and then it was meant to end. Mm-hmm. And we're still friends, but I've been solo and loving it, because it's really allowed me to get to know myself. Mm-hmm. And it's just refocused my passion. You know, I've been through health challenges with Lyme disease and other crazy things like that, and I needed to regroup. And so I feel like, you know, at this point, when there's a man introduced into my life, it's not going to be me looking for him to make me whole. I'm going to be like, hi, I'm here and I'm whole, and let's fall in love and have some fun. And it's a great, empowering place to be.
That's basically what my therapist told me, because I just went through a divorce, and she's like, you need to just like, she's like, you have to not find your worth in like the next, like, she's like, you need to just like take that time for yourself to like find that worth, like, because that way then you can show up to the next relationship and go, hey, like, this is, I love me. And if like, you don't love me, like, that's fine. Like, but
no, 1,000%. I say, enjoy the, you know, the freedom that you have right now in terms of, yeah, I mean, like, my life is music and dogs and friends and family. I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's very uncomplicated. And again, I would welcome the complications that come with love when the right person comes along. But I'm not feeling like I'm lacking anything or missing sure. anything right now. It's just my life is so fulfilling right now. So
I love that.
And I write songs. I write songs about, you know, all the unrequited love or love lost or love. So, you know, that kind of keeps me in.
We need to write a song together then one time. That would be amazing, because I need a good end of divorce, new love, find my self worth.
You got it, girl. You got it. I mean, listen, my new stuff is like, I'm not trying to like shamelessly plug my album, but there's so much of that theme. There's so much like the song One Step Closer. That's really what it's about. It's about, like, you know, that angst you feel when you go through a breakup, but then you're one step closer to true love, and that can be true love with your next partner. But it's also about self-love, you know? So it's, there's a line in it, one step closer to love and trust and being enough. So well, amen I'm to that, sister.
Going right now to get your album. So thank you for that. But no, Debbie, go have an amazing show. I know you guys have to run, and just thank you for bringing your light and your love to this. And we'll see you in Vegas. Well, we're here. So
yeah,
we'll see you soon. Okay. All right. Bye. Bye, Debbie. See ya. Well, that does it.
That was fun.
She's sweet. I love her.
Yeah, she's sweet. She's beautiful.
She's stunning. Mm-hmm. And she's like so there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I know. It's like after all like that long.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. What a way to open and close mm-hmm. with Donnie and Debbie, yep. You know, like, yeah. Great show.
Yeah. Good point. This was fun.
Let's go gamble.
Okay.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to see all the shows tomorrow. I'm excited to see Nelly. I'm excited to see Teddy Mellencamp just jump all over Nelly. I'm excited to just see it all. I'm excited to see Darius. And I'm excited to see some of my old country buddies. So,
it'll be fun.
Yeah. Let's go gamble. Bye.
Bye.